Fairfax Radio's update with Christian Jones.
First of May, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Tuesday the 8th of July. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome in to 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. New figures show a number of cancer diagnoses and treatment targets are frequently being missed. Timwell Day petitioners were out in full force and we'll have more on the issues they're lobbying politicians to change. And the last surviving member of the Bee Gees has been reflecting on his childhood on the Isle of Man. All those stories and more coming up. If you want to drop me a line, say hello, text me 166 177 or you can email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's join Simon Richardson with the latest news headlines. Fast Amai, Simon.
Fast Amai. Just over half of patients diagnosed with cancer over the last year began receiving treatment within 62 days. Manx Care's latest figures show a number of its diagnosis and treatment targets for cancer patients are regularly being missed. The healthcare organisation aims to have 85% of patients referred to cancer services begin their treatment within 62 days. The Infrastructure Minister assures nothing is set in stone as a consultation into the introduction of 20 miles per hour limits on certain roads in the north goes live. The consultations form part of a rolling programme across the island being undertaken by the department. A rider involved in an incident during Southern 100 qualifying last night is being described as stable and comfortable. Jan Galli was involved in an incident at Stadium Bend during the Supersport Yellow Plate session yesterday evening. Organisers have also confirmed Galli has now been transferred to a UK hospital for further treatment. News from further afield, the public inquiries found post office bosses maintained the fiction data from its faulty IT system was accurate. The reports also found at least 13 people may have taken their own lives as a result. The chair of the post office has confirmed it still uses Horizon, the software that saw thousands of sub-postmasters accused of wrongdoing. Further NHS disruption could be on the way for thousands of patients in the UK. Resident medics, previously known as junior doctors, have voted in favour of strike action in England. And former MasterChef host Greg Wallace insists he will not go quietly following reports he's been dropped by the BBC. In a statement, the TV presenter says he's been cleared of the most serious accusations ahead of a report examining his alleged misconduct. Those are the headlines. More news at 6.
Gurmai, thank you very much for that, Simon. Well, let's just first address the elephant in the room. You may be able to hear my nose is, my voice is very nasal at the moment. If you have hay fever, you'll know there's a very high pollen count out there. So get your bingo cards at the ready. You'll be able to tick off as many sniffles or sneezes that come your way. Let's try and get through the next half hour. But let's start with the weather, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Turning cloudy this evening with the risk of some patchy light rain or drizzle developing at times. Light or moderate southwest winds, minimum temperature of 13 degrees overnight. Tomorrow, though, will start cloudy, but then any light rain or drizzle will then die out, leaving warm, sunny spells developing as the day goes on. Temperatures rising to around about 21 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
World-class racing has returned to our island. Make a pit stop at your local Tesco and pick up crowd-pleasing bites, drinks and camping must-haves. Tesco, every little helps.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys, your fast, reliable locksmiths 24/7. Homes, cars and bikes, Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287 287.
At Pagode Cashery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cashery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Pagode Cashery on 676 947 or find Pagode Cashery on Facebook.
SMS Trading. New and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. All-island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime online sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Just over half of patients diagnosed with cancer over the last year began receiving treatment within 62 days. ManxCare's latest figures show a number of its diagnosis and treatment targets for cancer patients are regularly being missed. Sean Cowper has been looking through the data. She joins us now. Sean, what do the statistics show?
Well, the healthcare organisation aims to have 85% of its patients referred to cancer services begin their treatment within 62 days. In May, 54.8% of cases met that standard, while over the last 12 months overall, 298 out of 604 patients began treatment within that time frame, or 51.7%. ManxCare also has a 28-day diagnosis target for 80% of its patients being referred to cancer services to receive a diagnosis. In May, 56% found out whether they had cancer or not within 4 weeks, which is actually up from 49% in April.
OK, and is that across all different types of cancer?
Well, there is actually quite a bit of variation across the services. For breast services, for example, which have seen the most number of referrals over the last year, just 43% have received a diagnosis within 28 days. The average wait is currently 32 days. In urology, 38% of referrals met the 28-day standard, while for gynaecology patients it was 56% and 65% in colorectal, which is the second most common cancer referral on the island. Skin was actually the only area to meet the 80% target over the last 12 months, with 567 of the 682 referrals receiving a diagnosis within 4 weeks, which is 83%.
Okay, and do we know why that's happening?
Well, there are a number of reasons. ManxCare says delays in the breast service can be attributed to workforce vacancies, particularly the lack of breast consultant radiologists. However, it has now appointed a consultant who will be taking up the role in September, with a locum in place until then. The healthcare board adds that there are a number of factors affecting colorectal wait times, such as complex pathways, patient frailty, and other patient-related delays. And there is just a sheer demand on the service over the last 12 months. More than 4,000 cases have been referred to cancer services, with 618 patients currently awaiting diagnosis or treatment.
Sean, thank you very much for joining us. And if you want to find out more about that, it's quite data heavy. You can see all of that over at manxradio.com. Well, it's approaching 8 minutes past five. This is Manx Radio's update, and government's communication with the public has been absolutely abysmal during this administration. That's the view of a former chief minister, Alan Bell, who's been sharing his thoughts on current politics with Manx Radio. He admits he was surprised and disappointed to see just five acts promulgated at this year's Tymwald Day ceremony.
Sometimes you need harsh rhetoric to stimulate change and stimulate a reaction. Sometimes that harsh rhetoric is a bit tongue-in-cheek. Others, it's genuine anger, I think, which is expressed. But collectively, all these things coming together do bring about change. And there's often a great fear of change. You know, people, because they're comfortable with today's status quo, they think, oh, well, it must stay like that. And you have to be prepared to accept change, but also to mould change in a positive and constructive way, which continues the growth that the island has enjoyed in all aspects. But it might mean treading on people's toes occasionally.
Any advice to the existing chief minister, councillor ministers?
Well, I must admit, I was surprised. This Tynwald, now we're closing in on the general election, only managed to pass five bills for royal assent this time. That seems to me a bit disappointing. And for the next chief minister, I wouldn't give them advice. But it does strike me, looking from the outside, that there needs to be far more effective teamwork and a more collective agreement as to what the best way forward for the Isle of Man is. And in particular, they need to give some great attention to communication, because the communication between government and the wider public has been absolutely abysmal. And if you want to get the Manx public on board, if you want them to back your policies, you've got to talk to people. You've got to tell them what the true situation is and get the public on board.
Former Chief Minister Alan Bell speaking to Phil Gorn there. Interesting topic. What are your thoughts? Has there been sufficient communication, or should there be more of a collective mindset, as Mr. Bell said? You can text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Well, let's stay with the theme of Tymal Day, because a number of petitioners are hoping to have their causes championed by the island's MHKs following this year's Tymal Day ceremony. As members of the island's parliament gathered on Tymal Hill in St John's, they were approached, as per tradition, by members of the public with a petition or petitions for redress. Issues raised this year vary from the proposed 20-mile-per-hour scheme, funding granted to King William's College, and calls for a dementia village, among others. Lewis Foster has this report.
Starting with Mr. Chris Pay, whose petition relates to plans to impose 20-mile-per-hour speed limits on certain residential roads around the island.
What I'm petitioning Tynwald for is for them to carry out a proper, independent, third-party and collaborative assessment, which will include all businesses, taxi drivers, residents, road users. I don't think a proper assessment has been done. Wales, for example, in Cardiff, after the implementation, I know from people who live there that the impact was significant. Hopefully my petition will get through the select committee, and by the time it arrives at Tynwald, they will be in a position to look at this and to take some decisive action.
David Watts next, who's described as an avid educational researcher. He's presented petitions for redress before, and this year in his sights, the island's one and only private school.
Well, I'm petitioning for Tymal to establish a select committee to examine the due diligence surrounding the recent loan award to King William's College. It's also to do with the financial governance of the college and also its viability as a going concern.
Another petitioner we've heard from before is Millie Blenkinsop-French.
Dementia is overtaking cancer, so I definitely think, with that in mind, we definitely are now ready for a dementia village.
Jenny Quiggin from Peel now, who is also in St John's with one petition calling for urgent safeguarding reforms to protect children, vulnerable adults and victims of abuse, and another concerning the police complaints process. First-time petitioner Alf Kane is calling for greater transparency from the Manx Development Corporation. And next up, we have George Hargreaves from the Isle of Man International Film Festival. He'd like one day to thank the Academy.
To allow Manx language films to be entered into the Oscars. We will organise it, we'll not take any money from the public purse, we'll just get it done so that Manx filmmakers can have a chance to walk on the world stage at the Oscars.
Petitioning pair Michael Quine and Julie Kirby called for breathwork education to be promoted in early years. And last but not least, serial petitioner Trevor Cowan.
There's only nine in this one here, but the rest is just copies of anybody wants one. They're mainly a rehash of previous ones that they haven't dealt with yet.
Tymal Day petitioners speaking there. You can find a full list of all of the petitioners and the photographs of them, in case you just have a very imaginative mindset, over at manxradio.com. 13 minutes past five, this is Manx Radio's update, and an online gaming company has been required to pay a discretionary civil penalty of £100,000 by the Gambling Supervision Commission for contraventions of the Anti-Money Laundering and Countering the Financing of Terrorism Code 2019. The penalty followed a regulatory inspection of the company, which identified a number of contraventions. However, due to the company's cooperation with the GSE and its comprehensive remediation measures, the civil penalty was reduced by 30% to £70,000. With this report, is Simon Richardson.
The move by the GSC followed a supervisory inspection in July last year. It identified that the company did not ensure a compliance officer had seniority, expertise, competency, or sufficient time and resources to properly discharge the responsibilities of the position. SKIOM also failed to demonstrate the recording, maintaining, and operation of appropriate procedures and controls for monitoring and testing compliance with the legislation. Nor did the company demonstrate that it undertook relevant annual reports to demonstrate compliance with the code. The Commission says it's satisfied that imposing the civil penalty appropriately reflects the level of the identified non-compliance. Additionally, the GSC is assured that the directors of SKIOM acknowledge and accept that there were contraventions of the mandatory provisions of the Code. The Commission says it's essential that the board of any operator ensures the appointment of individuals to appropriate roles, confirming that they possess the requisite expertise and can dedicate sufficient time to fulfil their responsibilities.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's take a look at the roads to start. A few things to be mindful of. We'll start in Douglas. Up until the 11th of August, Finch Road is closed between St Barnabas Hill and Christian Road. That's 24 hours a day for sewer work. In Colby, temporary lights on the main road at the Ballacry Park turn, 24 hours a day for water main work. And over in Peel, temporary lights on Glenfaber Road. That's near the new sewage treatment plant. Of course, the Southern 100 is going to be continuing this evening, so the Blount Circuit closed from 6 o'clock until no later than 9:40. That's everything we have on our radar at the moment, but if there is anything you spot while you're out and about and you want to let us know, do drop us a message, text WhatsApp to 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. Take a trip down to the steam packet. No changes there, I'm seeing. Everything looks like it's running smoothly. And over at Ronaldsway Airport, I'm seeing all green on the departures and arrivals. So everything looks like it's running to time.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
This year's Southern 100 is now underway and Manx Radio Motorsport is on the air to keep you up to date with all the action around the Blount Circuit. Throughout the week, we'll bring you full commentary of all the practice and race sessions, classic archive commentaries and some great music. You can listen live on DAB at motorsport.manxradio.com, our smartphone app, AM 1368 and around the course on 87.9 FM. Manx Radio Motorsport, the best biking station in the world, powered by Ellen Van Infuels.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
17 minutes past five, and a candidate standing in the upcoming Ramsey Commissioners by-election says he would like to try and do some good for the town. Chris Martin hopes to be able to bring more events to the north and support the commercial activity of Parliament Street. A local Democracy reporter, Emma Draper, has been speaking to Mr. Martin about what he thinks he could bring to the board.
I think I've got something to offer, hopefully. Some key skills and attributes that would stand us in good stead as a commissioner. I'm pretty persistent, think objectively. Very much like to put something more back into the town. I need to learn my trade, learn a little bit more about what the commission does and what its remit is. So, yeah, I've got a little spark that I'd like to try and bring to a flame.
What made you decide to stand for the local authority? Was there anything in particular that thought, yes, I think I can try and solve that?
I'd be hesitant to say that there's things that I think I'll be able to solve. I think collectively as a group of people, they need to come together and for the good of Ramsey. So there are some burning issues, as I've found when as I've visited people. Rates is one thing that's high on the agenda. Not surprisingly, dog mess slots in there. But accessibility to the town, road closures, people sometimes feel that they're entrapped with regards to the mountain road being closed. There are also things that are nothing at all to do with the commission that people hold close to their heart.
What are the key things then on your manifesto that you'd like people to know?
I can't make false promises or give the impression that I can change the world. But I can promise to get up to speed quickly, ask the right questions and work with others to get the best for Ramsey. I'd like to try and support the town's commercial activity, which a walk down through Parliament Street would definitely show you that there's room for that. That's both supporting the guys that are already there and trying to attract some new things to the town. Then attract some new events to the town. We have some good events in the town, but also we've got the opportunity to have more of that and put Ramsey on the map with regards to those people that are coming off coaches. And then looking at making sure that we get value out of all we do. I sort of get the impression from looking at the figures for Ramsey that administratively it's quite costly. It would be nice to turn that into things for the town. Well, I've been fortunate to have quite a diverse career. So I've worked in industry. I've worked in third sector. I've worked for myself and I've also worked for the government. I've got understanding, I think, in those areas that potentially other people might not have. An understanding of the limitations and the level of importance that people put on a pound.
That's Chris Martin, a candidate standing for the vacant seat in the upcoming Ramsey Commissioners South Ward by-election. The other candidates standing are Gillian Corlett and John Powell. Residents will be able to vote at the Port Erin Commissioner's office on Brideson Street from 8 in the morning through till 8 in the evening on Thursday, the 17th of July. 19 minutes past 5, and with as many as 200 million records sold worldwide, the sole surviving BG has been reflecting on his childhood on the Isle of Man. Barry Gibb says Manx culture left a lasting impression, especially its rich folklore of fairies and superstition. All three Gibb brothers were born on the island's capital before going on to become global music icons. Barry has told Manx Radio he has fond memories of his time here.
I always said, you know, we come from a place that's extremely spiritual, very ancient, and that was something we were proud of. Very proud of. And it didn't matter where we go in the world, I'm a Manx man, and that's the end of it.
I have to ask you as well, you sort of talk about wherever you go in the world, you move from the Isle of Man to Manchester, but even on the Isle of Man, you Chapel House on Strang Road, then St Catherine's Drive, Smedley Cottage, Spring Valley, Snaefell Road, Williston, on and on. What was it like as a boy with your brothers and your older sister to move around so much?
Well, it was more about me moving around because they were still babies, you know. So I had a couple of friends in Williston especially. We watched the, was that what they were building on the hill? Opposite Williston. I think it was supposed to be a school, but I'll never know. But we watched them building it. And Bonfire Night was the big night. Williston was fantastic. But it was all council houses, you know. Mm-hmm. And before that, I think my favourite spot would have been Spring Valley.
Did you take certain traits with you then from those times on the Isle of Man, whether it was as a child or when you returned later? Do you think there's sort of an inherent Manxness that you've taken with you that you could put your finger on at all?
What I took with me was an extreme belief in the supernatural, an extreme belief in myth, mythical people, mythical creatures. And I left the island with those feelings, you know, because, you know, you might not have seen a fairy, but they were there. But I never went across that bridge without saying hello.
Pretty amazing to listen to someone all those years on who's had such a successful career in music, almost 200 million records sold, and no doubt number of stadiums sold out as well. And if you want to listen to the full discussion with Barry Gibb, you can head on over to manxradio.com. It's in our podcast section or available wherever you get your podcasts. Right, we'll be speaking to Rob Pritchard about the latest happenings at the Southern Hundred shortly, but first of all, we'll go to the Island Games, and after claiming 15 medals at the last Island Games, it's perhaps no surprise that there's high spirits for the Isle of Man swimming team going into this year's event, which starts on Saturday. Isle of Man swimming team manager Erica Bellhouse and national team coach Lee Holland say, "Everyone is looking forward to the trip to Orkney.
I think there's a lot of excitement building, a lot of fundraising, because it's not cheap to get the team there. But it's actually, with the fundraising comes an awful lot of team building as well. So yeah, in a really good place at the moment.
And Lee, when we've spoken to you before, one thing you've brought up quite a few times is that bond within the team as well. There always seems to be a really positive atmosphere. How prevalent is that this year as well?
Oh, massively so. I think this game's, there's a lot of the team based on Ireland. So that helps, because these guys, most of them train together day to day. And when those additional athletes come back from the UK, back into the fold, it's like they've never been away. The teamwork ethic and the team ethos is massive. Our captains, Joel Watterson and Laura Kinley, do a great job in keeping the team morale up, giving a few talents off if they need them, and keeping everyone in check. So yeah, the team feel is really good going into these games.
And Erica, 2 years ago there was quite a lot of medal success in Guernsey as well, so how do you go about matching that same sort of standard?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've got that to build on, and we've got a really strong team. It's actually really nice. We've got a lot of returning members, but returning for their second games, we've got the likes of Harry Robinson, who is a Commonwealth athlete, but it's his first games. We've got Commonwealth athletes. We've got, again, some new first games athletes as well. So it's a real mix.
What would you all class as a successful Island Games, do you think?
I think as a team, the go-to is personal best times. I can't ask for more than that. And if a personal best is enough for a medal, if a personal best is enough for a final, if a personal best is enough for a gold medal and a games record, we'll be just as proud of those guys. Having said that, there's certainly there's an internal expectation from myself and from the athletes that have been there before and know what it means, because we love singing that national anthem.
And the 2025 Ireland Games are scheduled to be taking place from the 12th until the 18th of July. And you can hear the extended interview with Erica Bellhouse and Lee Holland on Manx Radio's Sportcast over at manxradio.com. Right, let's cross over to the Balaun circuit, and we can now say hello to sports editor Rob Pritchard. Fastamai, Rob, what can you tell us?
Fastamai, Christian, welcome to a sunny cross four ways here on the Balaun course ahead of day two of the Platinum Jubilee Southern 100 road races. We have a combined qualifying and race session planned tonight. Roads around the course are due to close at 6 p.m. before qualifying for all solo and sidecar classes between around 6:13 p.m. and 8 p.m. Then we're due to have the first race of the meeting, the 7-lap Peel Holdings senior race, before the 6-lap Mike Carouche plumbing and heating lightweight race at approximately 8:40. Roads will reopen around the course no later than 9:40 p.m. tonight. Remember, all timings are approximate and remain subject to change depending on prevailing conditions and circumstances. It's also been confirmed tomorrow morning's contingency session will not be used. Elsewhere, a rider involved in an incident during Southern 100 qualifying last night is being described as stable and comfortable. Jan Galli was involved in an incident at Stadium Bend during the Supersport Yellow Plate session yesterday evening. Organisers have also confirmed Galli has now been transferred to a UK hospital for further treatment. Elsewhere, Adrian Peynel and Ulrich Becker have been crowned winners of the inaugural Isle of Man round of the World Downhill Skateboarding Championship. For the first time ever, the international racing event was held on Manx shores at Thalty Will from the 4th to the 6th of July, with the Isle of Man forming the third round of the 2025 series. In the CT Open Skateboard, Peynel of France came out on top, with the USA's Antonio Madariaga finishing second and fellow American Nick Broms completing the podium in third. Elsewhere, Becker of Germany was the winner in the CT Open Luge contest, fending off Canada's Colby Parks and Great Britain's Joshua Fieldwick, who finished second and third respectively. And finally, Manx professional boxer Jamie Devine is now 8 fights undefeated after victory in a last-minute rearranged bout at the weekend. Competing at Bowl Exhibition Centre in Manchester on Saturday, he defeated Engel Gomez via points decision by a score of 40-36. His victory comes after a last-gasp change to his previous plans after he'd originally been due to appear at Robin Park Leisure Centre in Wigan on the same day. That show was cancelled by the promoters VIP Boxing last week due to the fight card being reduced and organisers being unable to secure replacements. Well, this latest result means Devine is now 8 contests unbeaten in the professional ranks since making his debut at that level in October 2023.
Thank you very much, Rob. Well, that is it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Simon Richardson. Simon and Kiri are up with you next. Michelle Kane sitting in for Chris Kinley with Greatest Hits from 6. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.